Jesus did. It wasn't just a giant billboard in the sky saying, I'm God and I'm great, but he healed the sick, and he preached the gospel, and he drove out demonic oppression. And that's how Jesus gave the Father glory, right? And so do you know what you just prayed over, what you just sang over yourself? You're saying, God, gain glory, right? He's not going to do it apart from you, right? And so as we, with confidence, just very naturally speak and pray for people, and whenever, Bill Johnson says it like this, whenever you see something broken, God wants to bring his perfection, his healing down into that place of brokenness. And so I want to encourage you with that. You don't, again, we don't have to get all spiritual. Jesus lives in us, and just, what's that about the name of Jesus, Priscilla? It's a powerful name, isn't it? God spoke that to you because he means it, right? For all of us, he's encouraging us to speak the name of Jesus. That's how God gets glory. And he's jealous for, right? He's jealous for his glory. So guess what? He's going to show up. We have to step out into, faith means you step out into, it feels like nothing, right? But that's what God honors. And so I want to encourage you all with that. I'm encouraged myself with that. Amen. We're going to have communion. I just want to read some scriptures to you. And just to kind of bracket communion, okay? And nowadays, if you want to have something that's legally binding between new partners, you draw up a contract, right? And if you want to make sure it's really good, you get a bunch of high-priced lawyers to come in and, right, and make sure that all the dots the I's are dotted and the T's are crossed, and it's called a legally binding contract. Well, before they had. Way back in ancient days, they had a way to make a contract, and it was called a covenant. And we still use covenants today, right? If you're married or have been married, you entered into a covenant, right? And Jesus says, what happens when you enter that covenant of marriage? You've got the man and the woman, right? And the two what? The two become one, all right? And we recognize it as a legally binding thing. A binding contract. And I want to talk about the covenant that we celebrate when we celebrate communion. It's such a beautiful thing. And so Jesus says, I didn't give you this one, Joe, but in Matthew 26, 28, he says, this is the blood of the covenant which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. So when Jesus was at the Last Supper, what he was doing is in ancient days, they would have a dinner. The two parties would get together and have a dinner. And it was part of the celebration of the covenant. The blood covenant was going to be cut, was going to be enforced, put into enforcement when he went to the cross. All right. But they had the dinner beforehand. And Jesus, if you read the book of John 14, 15, 16, all that about the Last Supper where he just teaches. What he's doing is he's teaching about the power of the new covenant. What's coming? All right. Nobody had a clue. The devil didn't have a clue. The disciples didn't have a clue. And it's just a wonderful thing. So I want to just read a couple of scriptures, make a couple of notes, and then we're going to celebrate. Because this is why Jesus says, do this in remembrance of me. Keep it, because you don't ever want to forget the power of the blood covenant. Never want to forget the power of it. And that's what Jesus is talking about. So our first scripture is Jeremiah 31. And I'm just going to read it. It's a little bit long. We're reading 31 through 34. It's a famous scripture. And he says, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and the people of Judah, and it will not be like the covenant I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand and I led them out of Egypt, because they broke my covenant, even though I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. So the old covenant, there were 614 laws in the old covenant, right? And there's this one problem with that covenant. You had to keep all of it. Right? You look at me in the Old Testament, if you keep all these rules, I will bless you, and you'll have the blessings of righteousness and all those things. So what was the problem? Somebody give me a... Andy's saying, he's right. Nobody could do it. That was God's plan to drive us to the place of grace, right? To where we know, God, I can't do this on my own. The Old Testament was sent as a teacher to teach us, you can't do it. You can't do it. Your good works are not enough, right? And it drives us to that place of grace. And so then we see in verse 30, I don't feel like wearing my glasses. 33. This is the covenant I will make with the people of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds. I will write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will they teach their neighbor or say to one another, know the Lord. It's kind of a strange thing to say, isn't it? Yeah. But what's it say? Because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their wickedness, and I will remember their sins no more. And so what we know is what first of all, this was a promise made to Israel, but what we find out in the New Testament is that Israel, in God's eyes, is not a race anymore. I know God's got a promise for the Jewish people, but Israel is not a race. Israel is a new creation, a blood-bought creation where both Jews and Gentiles have been born again and have received of his Spirit. That's Israel today. And all the promises that were given to Abraham and all the promises for obedience are all given to us as we have become that new Israel. Okay? Does that all make sense to you? Yes. I'm not down in the nation of Israel, but the nation of Israel is not this Israel. They're the people, there's Jewish people that are going to be redeemed. God's going to rule over Jerusalem. All of that's true. But this Israel is that new creation. Jesus was the firstborn of a new creation. Amen?
Amen.
So, we see the first of the benefits of the new covenant there in the last two lines. He says, I will do what to their wickedness?
Forgive
their wickedness. We got it up there?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I will remember their sins no more. So as we come in, we remember this new covenant. What we realize is that God is not relating to Israel, to you, as a born-again believer. He's not relating to you by your sin any longer. He doesn't remember your sin. Okay? You want to know who remembers your sin?
No.
The devil remembers your sin. Boy, you guys are quick today. You got this. He remembers your sin, and he tries to accuse us with it, to try to say, oh, well, that's sin. That's going to come between you and God. There's some, you know, you're going to have to do something. You're going to have to perform a little harder, right? But God says, according to his word, I don't remember your sin. Good news, right, Tom?
Amen.
That is good news. So I'm going to talk about the benefits a little bit more here. In Isaiah 53, these are famous passages. I hope you could almost quote them with me. But it says, surely he took up our pain and he bore our sufferings. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. And by his wounds, we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. That's us. We couldn't keep the old covenant. Just every one of us, we just wander. Anybody here wander like I do? We all had our own paths, right, Jesse? We've all had our paths. But we all, like sheep, go astray. But here's this is what turns this from not being a religion into just a sheer miracle. We all, like sheep, have gone our own way. But the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. And like Alta shared, was it last week or the week before, how the king sits on his throne and normally he's guarded so that nobody can get to the king. But I'm going to make it personal for her. But the king saw Alta and said, I'll die for you. What kind of a king dies for a criminal? What kind of a king dies for a criminal? So all we can do is just go, Lord, that verse, the first verse in Isaiah 4, surely he took up our pain and bore our sufferings. In Matthew 8:17, I didn't give this to Joel, but he says, as Jesus healed the sick, it says that this was to fulfill what was written in Isaiah. And that's this verse, Isaiah 53:4, that he took our infirmities and he bore our diseases. So we praise God that he took our sin upon himself, suffered our punishment, and then was raised from the dead. But what's to say here? What else did he take? Nobody knows. What's he take? He took your infirmities. He took your sickness. It says he bore them, right? What does it mean to bear them? It means they came upon him. And he died. He died your whatever sickness would like to kill you. He died it. It died in him. That's a bold statement, isn't it?
Amen.
I didn't think it up. I'm just reading it. So I just want to go back to Jeremiah for one more, and then we'll apply this. Jeremiah 31, 35, and 36. He's talking about this covenant that he has with Israel. And he says, and we just sang these songs. I'm so glad that Ken and I got together and we worked these songs out today. No, we did not do that. He who appoints the sun to shine by day. That God You Reign song, I love that song. The only thing we need is Aaron with a Stratocaster. Right, Aaron? Have you heard that song? Have you heard Lincoln Brewster do it? It soars. I mean, it was great the way we did it, but yeah, we're going to get him working on that. Okay. Anyway, he who appoints the song, the sun, oh, I'm singing the song. He who appoints the sun to shine by day and decrees the moon and stars to shine by night, who stirs up the sea so that its waves roar, and the Lord Almighty is his name. Only if these decrees vanish from my sight will Israel, now who's Israel in this case? Who is it? It's you. It's the born-again believer. Will Israel ever cease to be a nation before me? You are a nation of kings and priests. You're a peculiar people. God calls you. He sees you as a nation. Isn't that awesome?
Yeah.
And he says, only if the sun stops shining and the moon forgets to orbit the earth and the stars fall out of their orbit, if all those things happen, this covenant's going to stop. All right? So do you see how legally binding this is? This is a contract that God made between Jesus and the Father, right? Jesus as a man, you know, filled with God, but Jesus as a man made a covenant with God the Father. And we, as when we put our faith in him, we come into that covenant. And that covenant is absolutely, it is legally binding. It's not like, well, if God's having a good day, I'll get mercy today, right? He doesn't do that, right? God's got a good day every day, right? And so this is like, E.W. Kenyon says it like this. This doesn't take faith. It doesn't take faith because it is a legal fact. And if you just believe that legal fact, you don't have to work up any kind of faith. It's just, this has been settled in heaven. That your sins, when you come into a relationship with Jesus, your sins are not covered by the blood. They are eradicated by the blood.
That's right.
And in the same way, legally, our infirmities and our sicknesses have been borne on the cross by Jesus Christ, and they no longer have any legal right to affect us. Now, I know we're all saying, yeah, I've got these different things. I'm going to quote Bill Johnson, don't ever allow your experience to inform your doctrine. Always allow the Word of God to inform your doctrine and your theology. What does the Word say? Because what God wants to do is take us up. We're going to a new level, Rick told us, well, we have to go. He said, we're going to, right?
Amen.
Rick told us we're going to another level. Well, right. Then one of the levels is to allow the Word of God to take us to a higher level where everything that Jesus bought for us, we experience, and he gets the glory, right? He gets the glory for it. So I just want to give you an illustration, and then we're going to have our communion. Sometimes, I don't know if you've read in the internet about this, but sometimes people go away on a vacation, and squatters figure out there's an empty house, and they come and they move in the house, right? So I just want you to imagine that's you. You come back from a two-week vacation, and there's somebody living in your bedroom, right? And you say, well, this is my house. I'd like you to leave. When they say, well, we kind of like it here, and, we'll just stay in the bedroom. Don't worry about it, right? Then over time, they invite their friends in, right? And pretty soon, your house has been overrun, okay? If you own that house, what do you have? What do you have? What did he say? A gun? Jesse doesn't like my illustration. That was good. You've got a deed. You have a deed. That is a legally binding contract. It is a covenant between you and the people that you bought the house from, and most probably a bank is involved in that, right? But you have a deed saying you own that house, right? And what a wise person would do is say, wait a minute, you don't have any legal right to be in this house, right? And you're going to have to go. And then if they say, well, I don't want to go, right? You say, well, I'm going to call the cops, right? Well, do you know who the cops are? You!
Amen.
I've given you authority. We read it this morning. I've given you authority to cast out demons, to heal the sick, right? And so what we do with this new covenant is God has given us, he has given us authority over our house. First of all, your house is your body. Then it's your family, your marriage, and then it's your family. And we're just seeing God moving in that house of, with Tom's testimony here, right? So I just want to talk about what some of these squatters are that come in right now. They say, well, I'll just stay in the bedroom. It's just a mild illness. I can deal with this. You know, lots of people have this, right? And then what the squatters say is, well, you know, you're getting older, and everybody gets sick when they're older. And so you just accept this, and you just accept this. And they move from the bedroom, and they move into the dining room, and pretty soon they've kicked you out of the family room, right? And you're living in the basement, right? So what do we need to say? What does the Word of God say about sickness? We just talked about it already. What? Wait a minute. Yeah. By his stripes, I have been healed, right? I am going to live out my days, the days allotted to me. I am blessed and not cursed, right? And we take our authority. This is part of I believe this is part of communion, is remembering, wait a minute, this stuff has no legal right in my body. Now, we're all in a process, all right? I've got stuff that I would like gone. It still isn't gone, but I'm not accepting it, right? We're going to speak the word of the Lord over that, all right? Let me give you one more squatter, and then we'll have communion. I've just got a single income. You know, it's just normal. For you get older, you got to pinch your pennies, and there's lack. You know, this lack comes in. I'm not talking about poverty, because we Americans, we don't really know what poverty looks like, but we know what lack looks like. Okay, if we had Rick here, he'd talk about India. Then we could talk about, or Tom, you could talk about poverty, but we'll talk about lack. And it just comes with your time of life, and it comes with this, right? What's the Word of God say?
Lack nothing.
Yeah, he'll supply all of our needs. What? According to what? According to his riches and glory, right? And you see, what we need to do to give God glory, right, is legally say, wait a minute, these are the terms of my covenant. I have a covenant with God, and these are the terms that I have. And no, you can't stay in my house. No, you cannot bring lack into me. No, you can't steal my kids. No, you can't. I'm not going to just accept physical limitations. Why? Because I'm so great? No. It's written. I signed my name to the bottom of it. And you know who the testers? Now, what's that word when they sign test? Well, that's a lot easier to say. I'll take witnesses. You know who the witnesses are? Jesus Christ. God the Father. Enforced by the Holy Spirit. They've said, this won't work. If the sun doesn't rise tomorrow morning, you have a big problem. That's what they're saying. If the sun doesn't come up in the morning, we have a problem with this covenant. Anybody believe the sun's coming up in the morning?
Yeah.
All right. Maybe Andy and Ken, can we do communion? Is this good news?
Amen.